Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to the Creator Passport Podcast. What if a three-month trip became an entirely new life? After quitting their jobs in 2014, Katie and Ben turned a passion for travel into two wandering souls and two full-time careers. Now they're raising two young daughters without giving up any adventure. They also won our Creator Passport case study contest after gaining 35,000 followers and earning more than four times their investment through brand deals. With that, let's dive into the episode.
Hi, we're Giselle and Steven, and in just over 5 years, we have grown our business to over 1.8 million followers across platforms and over seven figures as content creators and digital entrepreneurs. This is a podcast that shows you success isn't just about algorithms and trends, but how strategy, creativity, and mindset will help you grow and scale your own personal brand beyond your wildest dreams. This is the Creator Passport Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, you guys. We're so excited to have you. And if you're listening, you are in for a treat today.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, we're really excited to be here.
Yeah, these two have absolutely smashed it out of the ballpark. They've actually been doing content creation longer, almost twice as long as Giselle and I, technically, or like just in the space. So I'm so excited to hear all the behind the scenes. And these two actually were the winners of our TCP case study contest. Everyone voted, and these two had the most inspirational story. So buckle up, because we got a lot to talk about today. So I guess for anyone that doesn't know, why don't you give everyone just a little bit of background? Tell us about, like, so you guys started back in 2014. Were you working full-time jobs and doing this part-time? Did you just dive right into content creation? Did you have kids back then? Do you have kids now? Tell the people.
How'd you get started?
Yeah, I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, so in 2014, we were newlyweds, and we were pretty fresh out of college. Ben was a...
I was a manufacturing engineer.
And I was working in like graphic design, advertising, and we decided that we didn't have any like real responsibilities or commitments, didn't have children. And so we quit our jobs, which back in 2014, that was like not super common. I mean, everyone, it's a lot more common these days, yeah. But everyone we knew thought we were crazy. They're like, how are you ever going to get jobs again?
We got a lot of questions.
And we got one-way tickets to South America. It was meant to be like a three-month trip, and it kind of never fully ended. We traveled in South America. We taught English in Korea for a year.
We took that money that we made in South Korea and traveled around the world for a whole year.
And we worked at a ski resort, built a camper van, did the digital nomad thing. And along the way, kind of grew our blog from basically just being like a place for me to share what I was doing on my travels with my parents, essentially, to a website that was getting more than 500,000 monthly page views and was earning a significant amount of money, like well over what Ben was earning at his engineering job.
And it became our full-time jobs back in, I mean, we always kind of considered it as a job, but like it was official in 2017. So we both were full-time on it.
Yeah.
And
sweet. Yeah.
That's so rad, you guys. And I'd love to know, during that 3 months, was there like a specific, like, when did you guys decide, you know what, we're not going back? This is it. Like, was there a country you guys visited, or was there like, take us through that? I feel like that's a big jump.
Yeah, I feel like honestly, it was from the very beginning, we were just like obsessed with that level of freedom. Like, you guys know the feeling of getting to a new place, exploring, and like realizing that there was, the world was so much bigger than we had ever like even thought it was. And so I think we knew pretty early on, like, we were going to try to like milk this for all it was worth and like travel as much as we could and explore as much as we could. So it happened pretty early on that I don't think back then we really had the idea that we would be full-time content creators, because while there were travel bloggers at the time, it wasn't necessarily as in your face as it is now. Like, oh, this could be a viable
No one was really talking
career.
about how you could make money from it,
But
or yeah.
we wanted to travel as much as possible.
What was it like building a blog back then? Because I started ours in 2020 and there were a lot more resources available. Were you guys just bootstrapping it from the ground? Because over 500,000 page views a month is awesome. Like, that's incredible. So I can only imagine, especially with less resources, like, did you just kind of trial and error it, or how did you
Oh,
guys build it
totally.
up? Yeah.
We were like, I was like uploading things from hostels with very minimal Wi-Fi. I went to school for journalism, graphic design. So it was very much just like kind of a passion project at first, and very much like a diary entry. Like, that was kind of the early days of blogging. And then over the course of the years, we learned about SEO and really improved our game and realize how much money we were leaving on the table. I think we didn't even implement ads until we were at like,
We were like triple the threshold for an ad.
yeah, we didn't
Like,
know.
we had no idea. And so the early days, we were a lot of trial and error and like trying to figure it out for ourselves.
Wow, that's crazy. I feel like the creator landscape has changed so dramatically, and like,
Oh,
it hasn't
totally.
even been, or it's been 12 years, I guess, since you like started doing the travel stuff. And you said when you guys left, did you guys plan to kind of like, did you have a background in photography or like capturing? I don't know if back in 2014 the photos necessarily mattered on a blog, or was it just information? Like, what was the what
Climate.
yeah, what was the moment when you were like, oh my gosh, the first month of turning on Mediavine or whatever you guys use just went from 0 to 100 real quick?
I mean, my dad was a photo, he owned a photo finishing lab. So I've always been into photography. And like, I think you're right. It wasn't really about the quality of the photos back in 2014. But it was something that I was passionate about. So I would bring my big camera everywhere and just like, it was more about documenting travels for ourselves until we learned, like, hey, we can actually make some money
Yeah, we
here.
could write in a way that would attract people organically through search and then make money off of that as well.
Wow. And when you guys were doing all of that, like, what was the behind the scenes? Were you guys treating it like a full-time job? When you think you said in 2017 is when you guys proper, like, okay, both of us can make a full-time income with this. Were you guys both kind of working part-time, or were you guys just living off the savings while you were traveling?
Yeah, so we had just finished a winter season at a ski resort and built a camper van and kind of took that around the West Coast and took a lot of pictures and like created all this, or we had a bunch of content essentially to put on our website. And that fall we moved to Chiang Mai. And that was kind of where everything changed for us. We had been like living in a van, doing like ski bum life. And when we got to Chiang Mai, we like met these people that were SEO experts. We went to all these meetups. We w basically soaked up as much learning as we could from people who knew a lot more than us. And that was when we learned about Mediavine and like basically we're like, oh my gosh, like we can actually make money here. And we would work from like sun up to sundown for like many months at a time, just really kind of grinding at it. So yeah, that's kind of it. It was kind of like a on-off switch where it became truly our full-time
And from
thing.
2017 to 2019, we were kind of bopping back and forth between Chiang Mai, Thailand, and Bali, and kind of doing the digital nomad thing before everybody was
Before it
doing
blew up.
the digital
Before
nomad.
everyone wants to be an influencer in Bali now. Well, that's awesome. How did you guys balance? Because we get this question all the time of being digital nomads, experiencing a destination, and working from your laptops. Like, did you find it difficult, or did you have a system when you guys were doing that to kind of balance the still being able to soak up the culture and the destination and the things you want to do while also getting shit done? No, that's a really good question. And I feel like our answer for that today, because we have two children now, and like, our answer to that today is way different than it was when we were digital nomads. I actually feel like we did a really good job of balancing when we were, it wasn't necessarily on purpose, but we would like kind of grind like for maybe a week or 2 weeks, and then we'd take a week or 2 weeks off and just like really go explore. We did when we were in Indonesia, we did a live aboard in Komodo National Park
Oh,
and
how
went
fun.
scuba diving, and then we'd come back and write about it. And so when we were kind of at our home base, so to speak, in Bali, we would work pretty much all day.
We've got like a co-working place and work just basically like a regular 9 to 5, but then we would get to go to sunset at the beach, or like it was a pretty great place to be.
And yeah, I feel like back then we had a good balance. I don't know that I'd say the same today, but
I was gonna say, what does your answer look like nowadays? Because you guys have done, you said 17 countries, right? Or you're planning your 18th country with your kids. How has that transitioned from the two of you just doing your thing out in Bali and running your blogging business to now having two children and also balancing Instagram and everything else on top of it?
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that like I don't know that anyone.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Has it all figured out. I think it's kind of one of those things that everybody kind of like recalibrates every once in a while, and they're like, all right, my health has not been a priority. I want to reprioritize that. And like kind of looking at all the aspects of your life that you like value and where you want to put your time. But for us right now, we have a house in Bend, Oregon, and we love exploring around this area. So we do spend a good portion of the year like in the Pacific Northwest. And during the week, like an average week, our daughters are in preschool, and so we have like an office and normal-ish work hours. But you know, the last 10 days we were on a camper van trip, so it can go from like one extreme to the other, where we have like a pretty normal-looking life to one that is not very normal-looking.
We try to structure it so it's like we take maybe 2 to 3 big trips a year, whether that be international or around the country. And then throughout the year, we do a lot of camper van trips throughout the Pacific Northwest.
I love what you were saying. It was like you do everything kind of in seasons or moderation. Like if you feel like you need to work on your health, you do like a little stint where you're like, okay, I'm going to prioritize this. If you feel like the business needs a little bit, or we do a big challenge, you like prioritize that. And I think that so many people don't want to hear that. They're like, no, I just want to be able to do one thing forever. And it's just so extreme. When I love how you answered that. Like even with travel, I think that so many people think, oh, if I'm going to become a travel creator or a blogger, I just need to travel full time. There's no in between. When I'm like, honestly, like I think it's almost better when you have a home base so you can have that balance between going full time and go, 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 and then coming back and being able to get some stuff done, having some good Wi-Fi, being able to go to like a local coffee shop.
A routine here and there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we like have started appreciating routine a lot more than we ever thought we would. And I think one thing that people who travel with kids learn fast is that like when you're on a trip, you're not just enjoying the trip and doing the thing, but you're also parenting. And then if you're a content creator on top of that, like you're capturing content and also maybe trying to keep up with the business while you are traveling. So it's a lot of balls to juggle. And I think we've come to realize that like we can't always do all of it. And I think being like gracious with ourselves and realizing that like when we come home, maybe that's our time to focus on health or focus on the work part of it. And on the trip, we like have a little bit of a different routine than we do at home.
Totally.
How do you guys kind of split up your responsibilities when you are having to juggle all those things? Like, do one of you guys take the kids and one of you guys kind of take the posting, or what does that kind of look like?
Yeah, I mean, Katie is the creative in a lot of this, and I dabble in the creative creation as well. But yeah, so Katie does a lot of the forward-facing content, and then I do a lot of the back-end stuff, whether it's the website or email marketing and things like that.
Yeah. And I think, like, to your point, Giselle, like, if we're on a trip and one of us needs a little time to like get shots or post things, like, one of us will take the girls and be with them. And I think sometimes too, we just need moments for ourselves. Like, we were just in Orcas Island, which is a island in the Puget Sound, like off of near Seattle. And we were at this like amazing spa kind of place, and there were these like hot tubs and sauna, and we each took turns like just being able to like not do content, not be a parent, and just like be in the moment too. Cause I think sometimes we forget that, like, to be actually just like in the moment and really going back to
Enjoy it.
why we like traveling.
I love all of that. I think feel like you guys got a pretty good balance on it now when it comes to like how you guys do with the running the business. But zooming back to when you guys first started doing this and like 2017. How have you guys is because I feel like you guys have had a lot of experience now working together as spouses. How have you guys kind of developed that working relationship while still having time for yourselves? And like, because I feel like it's very easy to become business partners compared to being the married couple and then to become married couple and then like, oh wait, sometimes we do have to work. Like, I think that there's always like that fine balance. So would love for you guys to talk about that or how you guys kind of what did you find, or how did you find what complemented each other, and how did you figure out what happens when, oh, well, one of you wants to do this, and well, I think we should do this article and not do this. So I look, because I think that there's a lot of couples that are in the same shoes as you, and that maybe they're in the early stage. You guys have gone through kind of this full journey now. So is there anything that you wish someone would have told you that was a couple years ahead of you, working as a couple, or how you guys found to work best together?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple things come to mind. First, I think Ben and I, we work very differently. Like, he's a former engineer, type A. I'm very much the creative. And so I think that is actually nice in our relationship because it complements each other. And I know some couples very much are the same type of person. And so the dynamic is different in every relationship. But I think for us, we have like our designated roles. And I think one thing I wish that we would have maybe started sooner is doing weekly, monthly, quarterly meetings and just checking in on things. Because I think one thing with this industry is you can plan all you want for the whole year, but like the algorithm or seasons or even just like weather things can impact what content you need to put out there. And so I think really setting those meetings ahead of time and checking in on that is super helpful, and making sure that you're checking in not just on business stuff, but like relationship stuff, because you're right, like this industry bleeds into your everyday life. And it's not just something you clock out of and you're like, yeah, we're done for the night. We're often like, even on our date nights, like taking pictures or
Documenting, yeah.
yeah. And so it really is a fine line. I think another thing for us is like, there's a few things we like keeping for ourselves. That's a tricky one because it used to be, I actually feel like I've heard you guys say this before as well, but for us, it used to be hiking or backpacking. But then we started kind of creating content around that, and that got kind of blurry for us because it's like almost a sacred part of our relationship. Like, when we're hiking, we just have these like deep conversations. And when that turned into work, it kind of took away some of the joy. And so lately we've been doing a little less documenting of like backpacking or
I mean, it's funny because like you go into travel creation because you love travel and you don't really get a vacation because you are always creating that content while you are traveling. And so in what area of your life do you actually
relax.
like act as a vacation? Like, so
Yeah. It could be like a spa date together or like something where you're just not going to share it, but having time together that's not content creation is, I think, super important.
I think that's, I mean, Steven and I love.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
love doing other things like going to the movies and going to concerts because it has nothing whatsoever related to our content. Although he has made a couple of Coachella videos here and there, but outside of that, like no pressure whatsoever to create content. So it's nice to kind of separate that out because I definitely did get burned out there from all of our hiking content and outdoor content for a little bit, particularly when I was forced to do quote unquote force because there's only so many hikes near us. You guys have a lot more options around Bend, in my opinion. But to like go shoot a brand deal with a quick turnaround time and we don't have a trip and now I have to go back to a hike that I used to love and now I'm having to shoot it. And it just takes away the fun, you know? And we're all about keeping the fun in the business.
Yeah, and I like what you said. Like, I think it seems so funny, right, to set a meeting with someone you live with and that you are
And that you're
married
looking
with.
to.
It's like people look at us and they're like, "Why would you set him up? Just go talk to him." I'm like, "You don't understand."
No, it needs to
But
be on the calendar.
when you have a meeting, like it
It's
changes
official.
everything. That's so much more intentional. Both you guys can like prepare for it. Like you block out times because there's so many things that can happen. You're like, oh, can we move the meeting? I'm gonna go to the gym, or oh, my friends asked me to do this. Like we'll just, and you can deprioritize it. But I think we used to have like a meeting for life and then a meeting for our business. And I think both of them became super, super intentional. We turned our life meeting just into like date night. And then I think that's where we have all of our discussions. But I think that's like a really powerful tip that a lot of people don't really think is super powerful. But the longer you do it, the more important I think you realize just like a little thing like that is.
Intentional communication.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
And I'd love to, you said that you guys, I maybe it wasn't the max you guys were doing, but 500,000 sessions a month is crazy if you guys are listening. So I assume that that was like historically had been the center of your business for quite a few years while Instagram was probably like a much lower priority, as it was for a lot of bloggers. But I think with all, obviously, as you guys have seen, with all the Google traffic updates and income just adjusting and AI and stuff, how has that kind of shifted your business, or what have you guys started to adjust in your workflow that maybe 5 years ago or even 10 years ago looked completely different?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And like I have several, answers to this. You're completely right. Like our business was always very much focused on our website. And I like Instagram was just like a fun outlet for me. I posted on Instagram, but it was just like the single picture and lengthy caption. And, that was what I loved about Instagram back in the day. But as you kind of alluded to, Stephen, the HCU and the different algorithm updates and AI becoming a big part of Google search really, really has impacted websites as a whole. I know some other bloggers that lost 90% of their traffic
Oh
overnight.
my goodness.
That wasn't us. Ours was more of a
It was
steady
steady, like deep
decline.
decline, and now it's like kind of flattened out a little bit.
But it was enough where we were like, okay, we have to look at this here. Like, you could go back to being an engineer. I could, go into advertising or something in that realm, or we could, continue and try to diversify a bit in terms of platforms that we're on. And so Instagram was obviously like our first pick because it has been a place that we have, put effort in over the years, just not necessarily from a business lens. And that's why we joined the Creators Passport because, as we kind of alluded to, we really left a lot of money on the table when we were building our website because we were just doing it all ourselves. We were learning as we went and realizing all these things that we probably could have done a lot better and a lot faster had we taken a course. And so we joined the Creators Passport at the beginning of the year. And to be fair, we have been kind of focusing on Instagram a little more over the last maybe year and a half to 2 years. But I think making that commitment to ourselves and really forcing ourselves to look at it as not just an addition, like a fun addition to our website, but like as a separate business entity or like just another,
Another income stream that
yes,
could potential income stream for us that
we
it's
got really serious about it.
I love, and I think as soon as you make that decision that you're like, we're just gonna get serious about it and you commit to it, like being a part of the business, everything kind of shifts, right?
And so we, not just like the investment of time and money, but just deprioritizing a little bit other parts of the business kind of shifted a lot for us, and we're still kind of trying to figure out the best balance for ourselves, since we do have like our website, which is still, a good portion of our income. Email marketing and Instagram, it's a lot
And we
to
also have all the
juggle.
other channels too. Like we have almost 10,000 people subscribers on YouTube as well.
Let's go.
And so it's like, yeah, it's tricky to like juggle all these different platforms and all these different potential revenue sources in your business when it's just the two of us right now.
Yep, let me tell you, hiring some VAs will change your life. But
Yeah.
it's so interesting because you guys did the total opposite of what we did. I feel like we started so hard with short form, and then we're like, oh, okay, I guess we should probably do some long form now too.
Yeah. And I think I heard you say, but one of my follow-up questions with the blogging world was what was the decline like? You said some people had like a 90% drop off where
We had a
yours was
huge drop
more
off at
steady.
first.
And then eventually Instagram's going to probably die out. Facebook's probably going to die out, or there'll be a decline when there's a moment to like, okay, we need to prioritize something else, whether it be YouTube or Lemonade or Substack or whatever, like the next thing is that everyone's super interested in. So for you guys, like, when did you realize that it wasn't a temporary dip, and when you were like, okay, we should think about this? Was it watching from other people's experience or just the community that you were in, or what were some of the indicators that you were like, okay, we need to make a shift?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of different factors. I mean, watching your income streams and your website traffic slowly decline is scary, and then hearing other people's stories, and then also just thinking about like the direction of where the world's headed. I mean, it's for a while I was really wanting to believe that websites weren't going to completely go away, and I don't think they will. In the next couple of years, but things are definitely changing. And so we didn't want to be like scooping out water from a sinking ship. And so we were kind of looking at, the different platforms that would make the most sense for us to put time and effort into right now. And I think that goes with saying, like, one thing that we learned with our website is like our two main streams of income were advertising and still are advertising and affiliate marketing. And one thing we learned with affiliate marketing is we've worked with more than 100 affiliate partners, and some of them were making $5,000, $6,000 a month. And then some of them would just close overnight. Like there were a couple of our biggest affiliate partners.
Booking.com.
Yeah.
There's a few of them that just like ended. And so we had learned kind of early on with being website owners that we couldn't get too comfortable on any one platform or any one income stream. And so I think one lesson just in general to all creators is knowing that like diversification in not just revenue streams, but platforms is super important, because they all are shifting and they all are changing, and it would be silly to assume that they're all gonna continue earning us money for the rest of our lives.
That's such a good point. And even to the point of that, like, truly the only thing you really own and have the most control over is your email list, which is why it's so smart that these guys are doing email marketing too. But even so, then you have to deal with deliverability updates and all these compliance updates and whatnot too. So you're always having to constantly pivot and adjust, I feel like. Are you guys still, I mean, you guys obviously still have the blog and it's still making you income. Did you see that split between affiliates and ad revenue change quite a bit? Is it still like half and half, or like what was it before? What was it now?
Yeah, so like historically, back like before all the algorithm updates, we would probably have maybe 40% ad revenue and then 60% affiliates. And now ad revenue has gone way down. It's probably like 20 to 30%, and affiliates are the other. And then we're doing more brand deals as well, and working with tourism boards. And so
So
that's.
like our income pie looks a lot different than it used to, which is a good thing, honestly. Like we were very heavily reliant on just ads and affiliates, and now we have more streams that we're like earning substantial amounts of money from.
Now, I'm curious, just as a follow-up on that, because a lot of people associate working with tourism boards with Instagram and short form. What's it like working with a tourism board, for example, from a blog perspective?
I mean, it is similar in the sense of like oftentimes they're wanting the same type of partnership, just different types of deliverables, or sometimes a mix of both deliverables. And then we've seen recently some tourism boards just with their budget and where their marketing goals are, not even wanting anything from website. So it's kind of sh started shifting that way more so recently that we found. But I've felt that sometimes our most successful campaigns with tourism boards have kind of a mixture so that it can be a multi-platform kind of campaign. But often it comes down to like where their marketing goals are and where their budget is.
Yeah, we used to get a ton of tourism boards back in like 2022 in particular that really wanted blogs, even though our blog was so small at the time. I think it was maybe getting like 10,000 sessions a month or something. And I was like, really? Okay, sure, why not? Like, if you want it, I'll write one. But yeah, that's super interesting. And are you guys trying to adapt for like GEO to show up in like ChatGPT and stuff? Or are you not even gonna attempt with that?
I mean, a little bit,
Yeah, we're
but
dabbling a little bit, but I mean, again, we have to prioritize our focus, whether we're what area we're focusing on. And so GEO is something that I want to look into, but I just haven't
it's one of those shiny
prioritized.
objects that like we yeah it's on our list, but our
I
list
was
is
like,
long.
I see everyone, I save a ton of posts about it and a ton of like information on it. Do I have the time for that right now? Absolutely not. But like maybe one day.
Yes, that never-ending to-do list.
And I'd love to, I think a lot of creators just in the space live in not a state of fear, but they always are like, I always say people worry when there's nothing to worry about. And it seems like for you guys, you feel very confident anytime you make a decision. You're like, okay, this is happening. I know that we can just adjust this and move to the next thing. So I'd love to talk about like when you saw some of the blog revenue start to go down before you started diversifying. Like, what was in the back of your mind when you were like, no, we can just do this. We'll just adjust this rather than like going, I think most people be like, oh my gosh, I'm just gonna stop and go back to my job. Or like, I so often we get emails or questions about like, oh my gosh, this month was terrible. It was 50% of whatever it was last month. And then the next month they're like, oh my gosh, this was the best month ever. Like, and it's just
The
like this.
panic cycle.
Yeah. So, and I feel like a lot of creators, especially when you're running your own business, it's very easy because it's you're like your own little feedback loop, or even if you're a couple or if you have a few friends. So on your guys' end, what do you guys do with your mindset or just what do you do in those moments to have the confidence to be like, you know what, we still got this and we'll just pivot into the next thing?
It's funny that you say that. It sounds like we're confident because we went through, I mean, a lot of ups and downs in the last couple of years. And I think one thing to that point is that we have been doing this for more than a decade. And so we kind of have the perspective of zooming back and realizing that like this industry and as a whole has a lot of ebbs and flows. Even just like in a good year, seasonally, there's some months that just revenue-wise are much better than other months. And there's often quarters that make, double what another quarter like. And so I think just remembering that as a creator, like it's almost too granular to focus like month to month. Like you have to zoom back.
I would also say that like there's so much money to be made in the creator space in general. And so after doing this for over a decade, we know that I'm probably not going to be running straight back to an engineering job. Like we're going to figure it out and figure out a way to get that revenue back because there is so much more like space in this in being
In
a
the
creator.
industry than there was when we started. But like to that point, like we still have a lot of ups and downs. And actually we had team members. We had a full-time team member that we hired in 2019 who is one of my like really, really good friends. And we had to let her go this year along with another team member. So it's like we've had ups and downs. Right now we feel like positive and hopeful, but we have had like a lot of ups and downs over the last couple of years just with how the industry is going. And so I think it's easy to look at other creators from what you see on Instagram or YouTube or whatever they're focusing their efforts on and being like they've got it all together, but behind the scenes there's a lot more going on for most creators out there.
100%.
I'd say all creators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Us, like, I have a mental breakdown here and there, you know?
It happens, you know. And I'd love to speak, kind of moving over to Instagram now. I would love to hear, because you guys were so focused on blog, and then you had your relationship with Instagram where you're like, oh, it's just like our fun platform. But when I went back and looked, and when you joined TCP, you already had, I think, like 35,000 followers. And now you guys are like about to hit 70K. I was like, they're crushing it. I was stoked to see. But what do you think was holding you back from like growing in the beginning? Or what do you think that was leading you to not be as successful on Instagram as you were on blogging? Was there any like assumptions that you had in the beginning that like changed once you guys really started taking it seriously?
I think one of the biggest things for us was consistency. Like, we just chose to prioritize our website. And like, looking back, I don't know that I mean, if I knew what I knew, if I knew what I know now, yeah, maybe I would have chosen to do things differently. But at the time, the website was where we were earning all our money. And I really liked the passive, more passive nature of it. Like, I could write an article and for years it would earn us money. And I saw Instagram as more like brand deals and like,
Promotional content,
yeah. And so we chose to prioritize our website. And I think once we s chose to prioritize Instagram, it's just, I think, a lot more work than a lot of people. I mean, you guys know, but it so much goes into it. And I don't think we could have fully like devoted ourselves to both equally, given the resources that we had at the time. So we just chose to focus on our website. And once we decided that we were going to go all into Instagram, we saw growth immediately. I mean, I think what's working on Instagram now too is like really in-depth content, at least for our platform, like the carousels that have a lot of information in them and they take a ton of time to make, or like longer voiceover reels. And so it's not just something that I could have like easily thrown up in the background while mostly focusing on our website. So yeah, I think consistency was like kind of the main thing holding us back.
And then when over the past couple months, I think it's been what, August, so that's what, 7 months, 8 months. What do you think's led to like doubling your audience in such a short amount of time? Was there a format that you guys found? You're like, oh, this is crushing. Is there like a certain topic or a series that you started doing that you thought was really well? It sounds like carousels are probably where most of it's coming, or it was there something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, we started, I think actually it was maybe you, Stephen.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Or was telling us in a one-on-one that we should choose our content pillars a little more specifically. And you know, coming from, we had done a ton of international travel, and so for us, we were posting all around the world, but then also really focusing on the Pacific Northwest. And over the last 6, 7 months, we've really been going hard on the PNW and specifically Bend. And so I think that is one thing that has helped us grow.
Because as a new follower, if we post like something about Japan and then New Zealand and then Portugal and then the PNW, like why am I going to follow this person? They're kind of all over the place. But if being more consistent on the PNW,
Especially when we're trying to grow.
then I feel like that's where we've got a lot more traction.
And then I think also just super information packed content, which I know I don't like hearing that because I'm like, oh, that just takes so much more time to do. But at the beginning of every month, we've been doing like a signature series of things to do in Bend for that month. And that type of post is getting us a lot of new followers every month, really making sure that we have consistent calls to action at the end so that people are commenting and following has really helped as well. And it's kind of the answer that I hate giving because it really just is a lot of work and a lot of effort, and there's no easy button.
I totally hear what you're saying. So many people are like, oh, I know all these things, like all the stuff you said, I'm sure they've heard on something, but are they doing it yet is the question. So I would love to get into, if you guys haven't seen their case study video, I'll go ahead and put it down below too. It was super inspirational seeing their story, but in there you said, like, obviously the follower growth wasn't even your biggest win that you said so far this year. You said you really highlighted how you've done all of these different stays and brand partnerships and worked with different tours and boards. And you said you quadrupled, like, since you joined TCP just from brand deals. So I'd love to hear on your end, what do you think led to a lot of those results? Was it obviously you're growing your audience, so that helps? Was it you're pitching more? Is it you were more proactive with, like, posting sponsored style content on your page? Like, what do you think helped you kind of land some of those partnerships or just start to grow that side of the business so quickly?
I think to begin the answer, we weren't doing a ton of brand deals before, and part of it was just like our own personal like blocks with that. And so we finally were like, if this is going to be a part of our business that earns money, this is what we are going to be doing. And also, we really took a lot of effort to look at the negotiations part of the course because we weren't very confident
We don't we
in.
dove straight into track three and like and went head into, like, how are we gonna negotiate better? How are we gonna pitch better?
I love that.
What does it take to look at a contract and make sure you're getting what you deserve?
And also just like feeling like we knew how much to charge, because I think that is, until you see what other people are charging, it can be really intimidating going into these conversations. So I think we went into conversations with more confidence, not only to have the rates that we deserve, but also to say no when the rates weren't adding up. Like every creator out there, our inbox is absolutely inundated with like all these asks and brand pitches and all these things. And I think now we just have like a lot more peace of mind knowing that like this isn't going to be the only like partnership deal we get pitched, so I can say no if it's not perfectly aligned with what I want to do.
Like, just last week we got pitched one of the top three car companies in the US, and it just wasn't like didn't seem like a good fit for what our content and everything. And so we just said no, and we felt very confident that that was the right thing to do.
Whereas
I love
prior to the course, we probably would have been like coming at it from a place of
that.
lack and being like, oh, we might not ever get this type of opportunity again. But I think just having a lot more information and resources when it comes to working with brands was like incredibly helpful for us.
I think in the beginning, every creator goes through that same thing, even down to like tiny things where I remember when we had what, less than 1,000 followers, REI commented on our post and was like, we'd love to repost this photo. And we were like, do we let them? They're not going to pay us. Like, they're just going to repost it. And we let them
But then
repost
we were like, the clout, like,
it.
it's REI's on
Right.
the
Media kit, whatever. Like, that kind of stuff. Once you get a little more knowledge and you get a little more confidence, I think it really helps steer you away from operating from the like scarcity mindset of, oh, like this partnership, no, they might not ever work with me again or reach back out again. As long as you're pleasant to communicate with and you're professional, I truly think you could be totally fine just saying no and holding your ground.
I think so many people live in that, like, scarcity mindset. Kind of like you said, you were like, oh, is this going to be the only email that comes in this week? And I think as soon as you change, like, more of an abundance
Abundance.
mindset, like, there's so much money going around.
What
And
did you say the creator industry was projected for next
this
year? Do you
year,
remember?
it's supposed to end around 258 billion, and then next year it's estimated to be 380 to 450 billion. So it's supposed to
That's
grow
wild.
about 30 to 40%, which is just crazy.
Insane.
Like, so much money going around. It's wild. But yeah, I'd love to bring it back to the brands as well. What do you felt like what would you tell another creator who feels uncomfortable asking to be paid? Because I think that's something that comes up. So every time I do a Q&A on the Creator Passport.
Paid what they're worth.
Exactly. They're like, oh, I'm so nervous. They're like, this brand is really cool. Like, should I just be okay taking a lower rate? Like, what do you feel like has really helped you? Or was there like a certain partnership where you were like, you know what? We're going to stand our ground. And then you got it and you were like, it worked. Like, I'd love to talk about any of those little moments.
Yeah. I mean, we still struggle with this too, especially if it's something that like, a place or a thing that we're going to do anyway. We're like, okay, well, if we don't make our full rate, maybe it will. And you just sit there in these like loops of justifying it. And Ben is always the one that's like, no, we're going to like ask for our actual rate. And there's been several times too, where we're like, okay, we're going to, you know, we get all nervous and we stand firm and then the brand accepts and we're like, maybe we should have asked for more. And, I mean, there's all sorts of creators out there saying that. And so I think it is just really a sign, especially Stephen, with, you know, saying that the industry is only growing. It's a sign to all the creators out there that like you deserve to be paid for work that you put in. And I think we also like don't ever add up all the hours that go into the work, the negotiation back and forth with email, like brainstorming the shoot, all the things that go into it. It's much more than anybody really gives it credit for. And so you really do need to stand your ground. I will say that like for us, one kind of obstacle we've come into recently as we've been more niching down into like our local area is that local brands often don't have the budget of bigger brands. And so we have kind of come up with like a local budget and a local rate and then rate for like international or national companies. And that feels like really aligned with what we want out of this too. So I think that might be like a helpful piece of advice for anyone who's working in like a smaller market, to have like two different rates that you can kind of keep in mind when you're working with like a small business versus, you know, a bigger brand.
And if it's a small business you genuinely want to promote and help succeed, I do think it makes it a little easier, obviously, especially if it's not a huge lift on your end. Obviously, if it's like a giant dedicated YouTube video or something that takes a lot of hours, it might be a little different. But
like we've worked with our local tourism boards here, and we definitely give our local spots a different rate than we would give like a country. Home.
Like we can stay at our house and drive there. It's not like as insane as needing flights and
me and a
and all that kind of stuff.
Me and a buddy were talking about this, and I think that it's because maybe it's Western culture, but there's not a lot of haggling that just goes on a day-to-day basis. You walk into Walmart, you can't look at Walmart and be like, I'll give you $80 for the tent instead of nine. Like, you can't do that.
But in
a lot of other countries, that's just like a normal thing. Or like in any other industry, it's very, very common to just negotiate. I can't think of one deal we've done this year where it's been the same price for the same deliverables. You know, every single one is so different. So I always try and remind people when they're like, how much should I charge for this? And I'm like, well, it depends. And I know people hate that answer, but it's so true.
The two sets for sure. And your ideal rates and your floor rates. Like, you're not leaving your house for anything under X amount. Like, I think that's really helpful to have too, as your bottom line. Because for Steven and I, we have to make, I think our floor is what, 8,000? Like, in order for us to leave our house, we need a minimum of 8,000 for like a deal that's going to take us out of office for a couple days. Because when we're home, we're making money because we're so productive and we get a lot of stuff done. So for us to leave and focus primarily for one client, it's like, okay, I got to take the almost like the cost of leaving and not being able to do all these tasks that would potentially generate income with the opportunity of this travel gig. So I think it's good to have like that thought when you're negotiating too, of the cost of your time when you're actually out and about, especially if it's a destination you might not necessarily have at the top of your bucket list. You're like, okay, maybe charge more for that. Versus a spot that you really want to go to, okay, maybe you can accept a little bit less. So it's always changing.
I think to add on to that, like now with kids too, we're having to like, you know, think about taking them out of their normal routines. And like, so we're not going to just do a job for free or for like, you know, we do have our floor as well, because it's like, it's not just disrupting our lives and our productivity levels at home, but it's like taking them as well. And so that's like another consideration. And I think one other thing to just kind of throw out there for other creators is like doing a gut check after you've done the job and being like, okay, was that amount of effort worth the paycheck? Because oftentimes it can feel right away like, okay, yeah, that feels like a good number. But then when you've done all of it, you've done the posting, the engaging, the like shooting of everything and all the post-production stuff. And then that number comes in and you're like, okay, yeah, that doesn't really feel like four anymore. And so I think continuing to look at your numbers and adjusting them so that you remember and you don't just like forget how it felt after doing a job and getting paid X amount. Like you're continuing to analyze that and adjust that.
Yeah, all such good things. I would love to pivot a little bit and to talk about community as well, because I think so many people in the creator space don't think it's necessarily a priority. Like, I think that a lot of people find get networking and community mixed up. And at least in my head, I feel like they're very different. And in your video, that was one of the first things that you mentioned, especially in TCP. So I'd love for you to talk about kind of where what the journey's been for you guys, like as not having coworkers since 2017, traveling, having kids. Like, how have you guys found that community versus like just thinking, oh, these people are just trying to talk to us for tips because we have 500,000 website things. Like, I'd love to hear a little bit on your end.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't focus on building community early on just because like we had each other. I think if we had done this like as solo projects, we probably would have like dove into community aspect a lot sooner. And it's through other creators that I feel like we learn our best things. Like even finding out about Mediavine was another blogger that was like, oh, you're on me. And I'm like, oh
What?
my
What's
gosh.
Mediavine?
Yeah. And so I think that the value in community, like true community with other creators, is unparalleled. I will say too, like after having kids and a home base, it has gotten harder and harder to make community. And I think that that's one thing that the course kind of like makes a lot more accessible, no matter where you are in the world. And I think that, yeah, like just having other people that understand what it is you're going through, like when you're reaching out to brands or when an algorithm change happens, like most other people aren't going to understand what you're complaining about or are stressed about. But other creators will get it and make you feel less alone. And so, yeah, I wish we had invested more in community like from the start.
And I think in the TCP community specifically, like it was very encouraging, and overall people are supporting each other. And I think that was like the big thing, because as bloggers or as content creators, we're kind of on our own little island, and it is like lonely sometimes. But then when you finally have a community that you can reach out to or bounce ideas off of
Or
or
just
share
like weird
wins.
questions that you're like, I'm not gonna Google this, like nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
It's super helpful.
pretty valuable.
I love that. And I would love to kind of wrap up with just like thinking about your guys' full journey. You've obviously been doing this for a long time now, right? So I'd love to go back and think, if someone was starting in 2026 right now, what would be your piece of advice to them? Would you tell them to go start doing blogging? Would you tell them to go on Instagram or TikTok? Would you tell them to niche down? Like, if there was three lessons or simple tips that you would, if you were starting today and did it all over again, what would you want to tell someone?
I think one thing is like with content creation, there's a never-ending list of things you can do or platforms you can be on. And I think that can be really challenging, especially for someone who gets easily distracted like myself. And so I think choosing platforms based on what you use as a consumer of content is really helpful. And choosing like starting with just one long form and one short form, or even just one short form to begin with. And then in addition to that, email, because as you mentioned earlier, that's the one that you own your list of people, or your list of subscribers. And so I think starting there is kind of where I would begin and not trying to do all the things all at once. And the same would go for monetization. Like, again, it can be easy to look at people being like, doing their LTK or ShopMy, and then people doing booking.com and like all the different ways to make money out there. But starting with like one or two that like genuinely feels aligned with your brand, and getting some systems down. And once you have the systems dialed, you kind of have a feel for the platform, then expanding bigger would be where I would start. Because I think we, for a very long time, were like spreading ourselves really thin with trying to do way too much and not really getting to be an expert at any of it. And so I think going narrow is what I would recommend doing.
And to add to that, make sure that your content is more niche as well, because in the past we've have information on all sorts of different travel destinations and topics, but the things that have really helped us grow are
Recently.
recently is to niche down and to focus on one area or one specific content type and then grow from there.
So dropping the mic, such good pieces of advice, you
And
guys.
what about one specific for parents who are trying to get into this?
Oh, that's a good one. I think being really mindful about, I think with content creation, as I think I brought this up earlier, but it really can bleed into your everyday life. And that, like, we've kind of struggled with that as well. Like, it has become kind of a problem because we're like not feeling super present with our girls in a really precious season of life. And so I think recently we've been trying to be a lot more mindful about like when they're around, we're putting our phone in a place that we can't access it, so that we can really focus on being with them and being really amazing parents to them. And then when they're at preschool or whatever, or it's our time to work, maybe one of us will be with the kids and one will be working, that we're really all focused in on work. But kind of having that separation is, I think, essential for parenting and being a content creator. And it can be really tricky, like very challenging to come up with that
And our girls, our
separation.
oldest girls especially, is starting to notice when we're on our phones and when working and kind of calling us out on that sometimes. And it's like, okay, I need to like actually
We
handle
actually
you.
have like code words to call each other out because, you know, it's one of those things too that you sometimes don't even notice you're doing, but we don't want to be parents who are always on our phones or that our girls remember that we're on our phones. And so I think having that really honest conversation as people aside from being content creators and like how do we want to show up for our family versus how do we want to show up as creators is super important to be on the same page there as well.
So good. It's funny. In the beginning, the kids are like, "Get parents, get off your phone," and they become teenagers, and then all the parents are like, "Kids, get off your phone."
Exactly. There's so many times in parenting where that role
There's a
reverses.
loop.
All right. Well, I have one question left. It's our favorite question to ask on the podcast. What is the most exciting thing you guys have ever done? Because everyone has a different version of what exciting is. So I would love to hear what yours is.
Yeah, so we listened to the podcast and we know you like that question, so we prepared. But I think, like as I was reflecting on, you know, several years of traveling and as content creators, we were kind of going through all the like big adrenaline things that we've done, like hiking to Everest Base Camp
Scuba
and
diving.
yeah, and doing all these like typical adventure things. But I think the thing that actually is the most exciting isn't adventure or isn't like adrenaline at all. It was we built two camper vans before having kids, and the week before I gave birth, we bought a new cargo van with the dream of building it out to be like an adventure mobile for our family. And so while our daughter was a newborn
We built that camper van out completely over the next 6 months.
which
Oh my gosh.
I would never recommend that to anybody with a newborn. We also had like renters scheduled to come into our house at a certain date, so we had like a hard deadline.
Oh my
Don't,
gosh.
yeah,
So
don't do
when our
that.
daughter was 6 months old, we took off in our camper van, and we traveled across the country from Oregon all the way over to Maine. On like a fall foliage trip. And
Oh my gosh.
we did like some, so we were in the van on and off. We had a couple international trips as well, but we we're in the van for like 6 months with her. And I think, you know, we did some things like we took her on her first backpacking trip in Glacier, and we did some like cool adventurous things. But the biggest thing was like proving to ourselves that we could still travel the way that we wanted to with kids. And like it just kind of opened up our eyes and world to the fact that we could make parenting look however we wanted it to. And so that was like really exciting because it showed us that we didn't have to stop adventuring in the way that we wanted to adventure with kids.
And now we want to encourage other families to do the same as well.
I love that. That's such a good answer, you guys.
Steven, you'll have to buy the dream van I want when we have
This is true. I know probably once every month we pull up this one van
Yes,
build we
I
really
will be on
want,
my Pinterest
and
board.
we're just like, oh, it's not the right time, but I think that there
Yeah.
will be a right time.
I don't think kids and car camping and the 4Runner, I don't think there's enough room. We'd have to upgrade, but one day.
Camping in the van with kids is like, I love it so much.
That's
And
so
we
great.
all sleep super well in our van. And I can't imagine. I mean, we do backpacking with our girls, but those sleep nights are not the best. Like, the van is like unparalleled. So,
Well, you guys
so
should
good.
come to Bend and we can do a van build together.
It's been
Yes.
second since we've been there. So,
We
we have to
love
get
Bend.
back.
Yeah, we got to get back for
We
sure.
said, I mean, we've only found maybe three or four places. We love California, so we're not going to leave. But we said, if we had to move, Bend is on the short list because we
Yeah,
love
it's a
it so
great
much.
spot.
Yeah. So that's how we found it too. Yeah. And then I remember we were working with Bend's tourism board in, I think that was 2022. And we were doing a mountain biking shuttle up to our trail that we were going to do. And everyone on the bus was just crap talking
It
Californians. And
was
I'm sitting there
hilarious.
just like, And then they started talking crap about influencers. I was like, "Ooh, double whammy," but whatever.
We were like, we're from Nevada.
Definitely not from California, but anyways.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, you guys. So many good tips. I think your story is so inspirational and really cool that everything you've been able to build. And if you guys want to, if you're listening to the podcast and you want to go and check them out, I'll put all of their links down below for their blog, their Instagram, their all of the resources. But yeah, what and just in case anyone wants to look you guys up, how do you spell out your username? It's
Yeah.
two.
Two wandering souls, and souls is like feet. So SOLES.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, you guys.
Thank you.
Go and send them a voice memo. Tell them your favorite part of the episode. If you guys are traveling with kids, go and ask them some questions. They are the experts.
Well, thank you so much for having us. This was so fun chatting with you guys,
Yeah,
and
thank
we
you guys.
appreciate all the content that you guys put out there.
Well, thank you so much. And with that, we'll see you next Friday for another episode of the Creator Passport Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode of the Creator Passport Podcast, make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you want to be the first to know when we open doors to our next cohort for our full signature coaching program, the Creator Passport, make sure to head down below and join our VIP priority waitlist. As soon as you join our waitlist, you will get 2 completely free lessons from our free coaching program. So head down below to join the VIP waitlist. And with that, we will see you next Friday with another episode of the Creator Passport Podcast.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.